You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Jessica has compiled for us a list. I mean, because I don't want to say she is thrilled that Witty is gone. I would not allege such a thing. But there were sparks created in the tensions of Witty just generally being annoying and unusual. And I think being more comfortable than anybody in the history of our show showing everybody his weirdnesses.
I love this, that we're just burying him on the day after he leaves.
Well,
we should do this more often.
Do it when he's here.
Enough. No, he's going
we
around.
Did, to be
he's,
fair.
He's taking know, a I'm victory teasing. Lap, and he's like, waving at everybody. Like, and Mike is calling him one of the greatest human beings he's ever met. And enough.
Well, he is.
Enough, hold on. Enough with the kid's 30. Enough with the eulogy.
Left me in a lurch, though.
Yeah, that's a great human being for you. Hey, Mike, hold this steaming bag of shit for me. Will I go blow up somewhere else?
I have never heard someone describe themselves as a steaming bag of shit.
Oh, wait, I'm not, what?
You're in the middle of what we're doing. How do you get
to steaming?
We were just a bag of shit, and then you just got here, and the thing really caught fire. Top five weirdest things about Chris Whittingham. Is that what the list
well,
is?
Well, I decided to make it the top five revelations that we learned about Witty over the last 2 years. He will be missed. Like you said, Dan, we often bickered on air because he could be very disagreeable and contrarian at times. And as a grumpy person, I tended to argue back with him constantly.
OLI? Do we have OLI?
We have one OLI.
Because he gave us so many weirdnesses. And one of the things I truly loved about Witty, I do past tense there because I no longer love him.
Yes, oh, that's right.
But he is alive, loved. Right?
One of the things I loved about Witty is his great comfort in, yes, that's weird about me. You think it's weird, and I don't care that you think it's weird.
Exactly.
OLI.
He wore two watches.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he never get over that one. Yeah,
that's only an OLI because he revealed it to us 2 weeks ago. Apple sent him a watch when they hired him.
A watch.
And he decided to wear that on one wrist and his wrist watch on the other wrist.
He says he's going to do it going forward, period, that he likes it as a stylistic choice.
Of course he does.
Number Weirdo. Five. Double bubble f***ed him up.
That's right. He ate his gum.
He would swallow his gum every time.
Oh, that didn't even make the list. I forgot about that one.
Well, that's why it f***s him up.
Wait a second. He would swallow his gum?
Every piece of gum he's ever had, he swallowed.
He eats all his gum.
That can't be healthy.
But that's not even...
that's why he says it f***s him up.
But that's not what Jessica's saying.
That's not why. The double bubble, it has so much sugar that it f***s him up. And it gives him a headache, and he can't eat Double Bubble. He revealed that on Mystery Crate last year during our candy draft.
Maybe if he didn't eat it, to Mike's point.
It's why I f***s him up!
I think they're separate revelations, though. I screwed up. That should have been number five, that he swallows all his gum.
Ugh.
That is a ton of sugar, though, is it not? Double Bubble is a specific burst of fireworks of sugar.
It's awesome.
More than most gum.
I'm about to throw up.
What is the best gum?
None of them. They're all terrible.
What?
What do you mean
by that?
Bazooka.
What? I hate gum.
Bazooka is my favorite gum.
No. Bubblicious. Bubblicious. Or what's the one with the juice in the inside? When you take a bite, it like...
The fruit.
Gushers.
The
Gushers.
One?
There you go.
I think that is Bubblicious.
There's one that's a gum that
has... There is something that has like a jelly in it. Yes, it's just a burst of extra syrupy sugar.
Yeah. How about Big League Chew?
Big League Chew's
nasty.
But for 30 seconds.
Everyone's grandma likes Big Red, right?
Yeah.
My grandma used to eat cinnamon gum, and it would burn the shit out of my tongue. And I would still eat it.
When we traded for Shaq, the first game... He beckons me over. Shaq has this weird thing where he doesn't want to talk sometimes.
Big Aristotle.
So he just literally beckons me over with one finger. And I say, yeah, big fella, what do you need? And he goes, he points to his mouth and he goes. And I'm like, you want gum? Like, and he nods. I'm like, okay, so I go get the gum basket or whatever. He looks at it. He's like, what is this bullshit? I said, what? I need Big Red. I'm like, well, I didn't know. I've got this Orbit cinnamon one. So he's like, no, I need Big Red. So I had to leave. We had a game. I left. I went to a gas station to go buy some Big Red, right? I come back. You know, he's already played, game's over. So the next game, I bring him the Big Red. He's like, no. Bring me the Orbit. Because he had a good game when he had the Orbit. Big Red, piece of shit gum.
Wow.
Hubba Bubba Max is the one with the the juicy explosion.
No, Big Red is terrible, and I think my grandma only eats it because she like has old taste buds and needs to feel something.
She's like a coal miner, right? And like that's the only way she could taste is if it's burning.
She's not a coal miner. But...
Okay. Well, I mean, I just figured.
The only 3 seconds that fruit stripe gum lasts.
That's a good guess.
Is a good 3 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put it on
grandfather
the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Is Orbitz the shittiest of the gum?
No.
How do you feel? Or is Orbitz a shitty gum? What did you say? You said
I didn't say it was. That's what Shaq said. What is this bullshit?
It's put on the poll as well at Levitard Show. Big Red, do you like it or do you not like it? And I still don't think we have a classification, a definitive consensus on what is the best gum.
Oh, we found one right here workshopping it. Five gum. What? Five gum does the job.
Oh, no.
Forever. Yes.
No. That's so
shipping
bland.
Shipping container aligned.
Yep.
It's like five gum is good because like I'm just trying to keep my breath fresh. It's not because it's
this
got a bunch of...
This is the purpose of gum.
No.
No. It's the sole purpose
of gum. I chewed it for a week once.
What do you mean, no, it's not the purpose of gum? And what do you mean you chewed it for a week?
The
once?
Flavor was so good, I chewed it for a week.
There's no way.
And the flavor was still there?
Not
Monday
the
to Friday.
Same piece
it's the longest.
Of gum.
You
kept changing gums.
We found our new Whittingham.
That's not true. You didn't sleep. You just kept the gum in your mouth. You brush your teeth.
Put it to the side. Put it to the side. Come back.
Keep getting
it. The taste is the same. That's how 5 days a week, Dano.
It's the deadpan serious look on his face.
Yes. Well, Whittingham has left the lane open for weirdness. And now Tony is here.
That's not that weird.
How's the rest of that list going, by the way?
We'll get to number four in a second. I just do want to stop on Stugatz.
A week.
I want to stop on Stugatz. Much like Cuba is stuck in the 1950s.
We're stuck on number five.
With Russian Lattas. Stugatz is stuck in the 80s with Big League Chew and Bazooka gum.
So like, good.
He's just
Bazooka sucks.
Bazooka's terrible. Yeah.
I love Bazooka. I'm sorry.
Did you read the little comics?
You read some little comics? Bazooka Joe, right?
No, I didn't read anything, but I just like the gum.
Wasn't the gum wrapped in a comic?
Yeah, but I don't read.
He's allergic.
I know it's short, but you know.
Allergic to reading.
Get to the gum.
It's short in cartoons, and he can't even be bothered with that. Number four, Jessica.
He's never eaten a Snickers. He ate his first Snickers last fall because we made him eat one after Mystery Crate.
Tell me he did it with a knife and fork.
No, no George Costanza.
Number three.
He tucked a napkin into his bow tie. Number three, he has a playlist in his car that is supposed to be agreeable for a large swath of people that he plays when someone new is in his car so that he doesn't offend them with any sort of specific music type.
It's called the Mutually Agreeable Playlist.
He's prepared for everything.
It's like ChatGPT.
He's like a little like corporation person's body.
I'm starting to miss him.
I know.
Number two.
He gels his hair before bed.
I gotta step in here. You cannot gel your hair before bed every single day and that be healthy for you. There's something in that gel that's not good for you, and you especially can't do it at night.
Not what's good for the pillowcase.
Yeah, what's his pillows look like?
Mike, you were not here yesterday, but Jeff Passan called out you as an authority on being able to tell whether people dye their hair or not. Like,
yeah, yeah. He was aggressive. One that I got famously wrong. The only time I've ever been wrong on this.
Was Passan? You thought Passan dyed his hair?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because it's jet black all the time.
Jet black, and dude.
It doesn't seem to shade.
Passan's young.
Early 40s, but it's jet black. There's no gray.
There's nothing on the sideburns either.
I don't have any gray hair.
You have some in your
my beard. Yeah, but if I shaved it, you wouldn't know.
That's
hair.
True, and you're old as
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a gray? What is
that? Number one.
Oh, my God.
This one is obvious. We all know what number one is. He uses his stove as his alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird, man. That is a weird, weird man.
I wonder what he does on the road now before games. You think he gets a hotel room with a kitchenette? So he's got
to
get.
He has to. Yes,
it's in his contract. He has to stay at a Residence Inn.
I'll miss him. I miss him. He's gone already.
Are you of the belief that the stove industry is still making a lot of stoves that have clocks on them that would also double as alarms?
Remember when that whole like gas stove controversy was happening a few months ago? I bet Witty was just like, I don't care if it's gas or electric as long as it's got an alarm clock on it. That's all I care about.
It's not even an alarm clock. It's literally the timer,
yeah,
right?
He's so hold right.
On. He set like a 9-hour timer?
This weirdo sets the timer.
That's right. That's exactly.
After he put gel in his hair.
Mike, UFC is coming to town here early in a couple of weeks with Masvidal as one of the co-headliners. And I also see, and I've been saying this for a while, that Dana White's got a bit of a star problem. He keeps propping up Colby Covington for championship fights more than he did for even Conor McGregor. And it's not because I'm not, when I say propping up, you just don't normally get this many title fights. And he is good at mixed martial arts, indisputably. He's one of the stars as well. And I think it serves Dana to lean straight into the villainy of how he can play to parts of the base with all his MAGA stuff, because he's a genuine villain. Like, he's totally fine. Well, I shouldn't say genuine because it's not real. He's faking it for profit. Like, it's totally fake. It's bogus for money because he learned from McGregor and Masvidal. Wait a minute. I could go from being somebody who's just a fighter to somebody who transcends with my mouth and with marketing.
Yeah, but he worked himself into a shoot. And then just fully fell into it. The secret is they're all Big MAGA guys. Most UFC fighters, everyone associated with combat sports generally is more conservative. In fact, didn't Colby Covington have like a shouting match with Usman where
who was more
MAGA? Yeah.
Yes.
That's just the sport. But he did tap into something and he embraced the character. I understand a lot of people are upset that he's getting this title opportunity just because how generally unctuous he is. But on merit, I don't think he's undeserving. The only weird thing is he's not really all that active. The last time we saw him was that Masvidal fight.
The other thing, too, is remember, Colby was on the brink of losing his contract with the UFC because he was boring, because he was a wrestler and nobody gives a shit about wrestlers in the UFC. People want to see stand-up fighters. So he was on the brink of losing his contract. He went to Brazil and said, forget it, I'm just going to be the loudest guy, a la McGregor or whomever else you'd like to put in. And all of a sudden, his star started to rise. People want to see him fight other dudes. The Masvidal fight, he just wrestled him to the ground. Like, that's the ultimate thing in UFC. If you are an elite wrestler, which he is probably the most elite wrestler in the welterweight division, if you are an elite wrestler, you're going to win a lot of those fights on technicality just because takedown, 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 ground control. There's nothing you could do. So Now they're putting him up with Leon. Leon's like, why is this guy coming in all of a sudden, just red carpet rolled out to the front of the octagon, hanging out like if he's going to get a title shot? I've been fighting. Colby's been just absent. And obviously that's been the Masvidal situation with the lawsuit and all that, but it's a weird time for the UFC and welterweight.
Rogan just got done saying that Masvidal would, is he saying that he would have dominated St. Pierre's time?
Which it was kind of news to me because Masvidal's been in the game for a long time.
Oh, but he fought during St. Pierre's time. Yeah, like he was in his prime during St. Pierre's time.
There was a Venn diagram.
There was a Venn diagram there. But I did find this an interesting take from Joe Rogan. We're going to play some sound from the Joe Rogan Experience on Jorge Masvidal, and I know a lot of people are kind of maybe laughing at the fact that when the UFC is in town, he is one of the, he's a co-headlining main event over there. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Yeah, are his better days behind him? You could look to the recent fights and say that. This was a guy that had an iron chin, and he's got in touch a couple of times, and he lost that big rivalry match with Colby Covington.
And got famously touched, just like he got famous with a five-second knockout, got hit by a guy in Usman who doesn't have real punching power, who made it look like he had real punching power on Masvidal's face.
The Usman career is so fascinating to me because he was going to lose that fight to Gilbert Burns. And in the middle of that fight, he discovered his punching power. And he had it for like four fights, but he keeps running into Leon Edwards, who just has his number. Usman tried everything in the playbook, even tried to get to him mentally. And Edwards just reminded him, boom, kill shot. And Edwards is this weird fighter because...
For those of you who didn't see it at the start of the fight, Usman rushed right toward Edwards, and Edwards like made a finger gun at him, reminding him of how he had hit him in the head.
But Edwards is an interesting fighter because if you look through his career, kind of like Masvidal, it's not this guy that's ever been considered pound-for-pound great. He presents a matchup problem for Usman. And he came along when Usman was considered pound-for-pound great. But if you look at the advanced lines, Colby Covington is favored against Edwards. And they were talking, painting about, and there was this big debate. It's how Masvidal re-entered the conversations. Why not Masvidal against Edwards? And even though I've seen Masvidal's last few fights, I actually would like to see that fight against Edwards. And I'd like Jorge's chances against Edwards, because the matchup problem that he presented for Usman isn't really there for Masvidal. The Edwards experience is really interesting, kind of like Masvidal, which leads us to this sound, because I was really surprised. Joe Rogan obviously knows his shit about the fight game, and to hear him heap this kind of praise on Masvidal was really impressive.
You look at GSP's victories. I mean, he beat some very good guys, but I think the guys Kamaru Usman beat, Colby Covington, you know, Jorge Masvidal, Tyron Woodley, I think they're better.
I think Masvidal's GSP level?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think if Masvidal was around during that time, he would be dangerous for everybody. I think he's on another level, but I think everyone's on another level now. I think, like the Masvidal that knocked out Ben Askren, that was one of the craftiest f***ing moves everyone's ever done.
For sure, man.
He ran out, he went sideways and then ran straight at him, and Askren's instincts kicked in, and he kneed him into the dark lands.
Oh, man.
Just one
brutal
shot, boom, into the shadow realm. Yeah.
He's a killer, dude, no
he's
doubt.
He's a f***ing assassin.
He's a killer, dude, no doubt.
He's an assassin. He had bare knuckle fights in the Kimbo Slice days.
The Kimbo Slice era, dude. The YouTube video area.
Masvidal's a gangster.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
I've pulled up the Urban Dictionary definition of zaddy.
Yeah.
And it says here, Christ, a fine, handsome, and sexy-ass intelligent man that makes you smile and drip every time you see him.
What? Well,
I absolutely hated listening to you read that.
Stugatz.
Hell yeah. My Zaddy is all of that. Damn, Zaddy. Got all my lips smiling.
Oh, no. What? He doesn't. You can't do this to him.
Yes, we can.
Daily.
We daily.
Do this daily.
You don't know what you're saying.
Winning him. Yeah, winning
that's
him.
Being, it's a perspective of a... of a 20-year-old woman.
Whittingham reads.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Does Joe Rogan perpetually sound like he's just emerging from the ketamine? Joe Rogan saying that Masvidal, that's crazy. That's wrong. Look, I love the Miami story of Masvidal as well, but that's, I mean, it's Masvidal was a nomad. George St. Pierre, pound for pound, is one of the best to ever do it. It's a ridiculous thing he's saying, and I do know how much he knows about MMA, but that's not sane, what he's saying.
It should be noted that he was having that debate with country music superstar Luke Combs.
Right? That was that's the other
second,
voice you heard.
Yeah, that was that second voice.
Sean's and, brother.
Not exactly. We're going to get to top five.
You're my brother.
Top five gum chewers.
Oh man, this is, I'm very excited for this top five presented by DraftKings.
One name, if he doesn't say it, list is null and void.
Is it sports? Top five in sports
it's
gum chewers?
Top five
chewers?
/people I associate most with chewing gum. All so right. You either are excellent at the gum chewing game, or when I think of you, I think of you with a piece of gum in your mouth.
And I mean, you are saying there's one definitive person that needs to be in this top five.
If it's not in this top five, then
but limited to sports or not?
Not limited to sports.
Okay, because I've got one from sports that I'm assuming is going to be in the list. But let's
see. It was
see.
Hard putting this one together.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Number, very hard. No, no OLI for this one.
No OLI. Okay, so you've just got five famous gum chewers that when you say it, we're all going to be like, yep, that person chews gum in a memorable way or aggressive way. Number five.
Burt Reynolds.
Amin is looking at you askance.
I'm trying to think of Burt Reynolds chewing gum.
Think of the SNL Celebrity Jeopardy sketch with Norm Macdonald playing Burt Reynolds.
That's a different character, though.
Well, he has a big red commercial, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, it was drew inspiration from the real Burt Reynolds.
Let's wait for the list to be completed, but so far off to a bad start.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, I never thought of Gum and Burt Reynolds
about?
At the same
Norm,
time. Sorry.
Think Norm went rogue and decided, you know what, for my Burt Reynolds impression, I'm going to add gum to the mix.
I just want to point out that one day we should just all chip in and have Roy do a CAT scan or something, because I need to know how this works. How this brain? He came up with Burt Reynolds had a big red commercial, very nonchalantly on the coast.
It is strange. Look, I would say this, and I don't think Roy would disagree with it. He's also trying to fight for the lane left by Whittingham. That people who work in the industry that Roy came up through, they use a different part of the brain differently than the rest of us. It's unique to the profession he's chosen as a sound person.
That is correct, sir. Thank
you. You keep a compartment. There's a storage compartment in Roy's brain.
Thank you for clearing this one up a little bit for me, because it was hard to follow.
Of just, well,
a different part of the brain, a different way, differently.
Yeah.
I like it. Thinking different, Dano.
Hospital?
Board ops and engineers do not think like the rest of us.
No. We had a board op named Sluggo.
They're a different breed. They are.
Top five names of board ops.
Number four.
Oh, the beast.
But even in his worst moment, he never said stovetop.
Tree.
Number four. Dave Grohl. Ever watch Dave Grohl? Dude's going to town on that chewing gum, that entire concert. He's going to choke on that thing.
Stugatz is very disappointed so far with your list.
You're not music guys. It's all right.
No. Dave Grohl's one of my favorites. Number three.
He absolutely destroys a chewing gum.
I think Dave Grohl's a good one.
This is a good one. All right, I can't wait to hear your guys' reference.
It's a weird list.
Number three.
So far, you disagree with every single one of them.
Yes.
Right. Stugatz disagrees with every single one of them. Number three.
Ace Ventura.
But he does it without having gum in his mouth. That's the
oh, it's a good one. That's a good one.
Number two,
Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
That was mine.
Yeah. That's
good. Yeah. Well, he hasn't named Amin's yet, though.
Not yet.
All right. Number one, and Amin has declared this list null and void if you do not have his name on it.
I'd bet $200 right now that we don't have the same number one.
Okay. We got
Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig.
Null and void.
Do you understand that every entrance that Kurt Hennig ever had, he would toss the towel behind his back and catch it out of midair? That's not too impressive, but he would spit out a piece of chewing gum in midair, slap it into the crowd. Every time, he never missed. You know why? Because he was Mr. Perfect.
That would be the reason.
He also threw a Hail Mary to himself one time.
What? Amin, what is the omission that renders this entire list null and void?
I feel like I got to channel our guy Josh Rosen doing his Skip Bayless impersonation and go, oh, here's the thing, Michael. How could you not name Michael Jeffrey Jordan? Yeah. It's my turn. It's my turn.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one.
You were deeply Daniel Day-Lewis in character, spittle on the chin and lip because you committed to the impersonation, and Jessica was impressed by the impersonation.
I have a Bulls sweatshirt on because I'm like the world's biggest Bulls fan, so I enjoyed the Michael Jordan shout-out, the GOAT.
OLI.
To be clear, that was an impersonation of someone doing an impersonation
That's
of
right.
someone.
That's right. Yes.
Not better.
No, it was a good impersonation of Josh Rosen or whatever his name is. Josh Rosen?
Josh Rosen.
The quarterback?
Josh Rosen, it's the same name as a quarterback. He's a very, very funny guy. I follow him on Instagram.
I met him at Moss.
He was at Moss.
The Rosen one.
Yeah. But I want to stay on Michael's list. You sit here, you listed five names of gum chewers. And somehow you didn't even mention the GOAT, the greatest player of all time. I mean, I'm beside myself.
Is that Arnold?
No, it's still Stephen A. It's Stephen A.
I'm beside myself.
With a little bit of Schwarzenegger sprinkled in.
I'm beside myself.
I love how he finds the note.
Mr. Freeze. But it's not just Schwarzenegger. It's Schwarzenegger
it's
as Freeze.
Maybe me for Schwarzenegger.
For those of you who are not familiar with the entirety of the Stugatz experience, he didn't make an announcement. There was not a press release. But at some point in the last few years, he decided, I'm not going to change in any way. And furthermore, I am done with anything called learning.
Yep.
And so he is here in a very real way, still after all these years. And I will remind you again that one of the things that he said during the Miami Heat's LeBron era was that they should get a 50-year-old Scottie Pippen because he loves the names so much.
Stand by that.
He wants Cam Newton as a quarterback, as if he's not watched the last few years of Cam Newton just because the name is Cam Newton.
Dan, after seeing Geno Smith, after all these years, come back and have an exceptional year.
Geno Smith, who didn't get a lot of opportunities, unlike Cam.
Yes, who had plenty. But Geno hasn't had any. And so all I'm saying is, why not Cam? Having two quarterbacks right now is very important. And not just two quarterbacks who could start, who have starters experience, and Cam has that. And so if he's willing to be your backup, I'm not certain I wouldn't take Cam Newton as a backup right now, because that would be, Dan, you have a quarterback goes out. What do you want your backup to do?
Well, no,
drive 98 yards in a playoff game like Chad Henne, get you a touchdown, not ruin the game, not lose the game. Who's qualified to do that? A guy like Cam Newton. So if Geno Smith can resurrect his career, why not Cam Newton?
Let me ask you a question, Sugats. You think a guy who in his video announcing he's going to go to Auburn Pro Day, which is next level.
He's doing what he has to do.
I'm just saying, when he says, you try to tell me there are 32 guys that are better than me, Do you think he saw my backup quarterback jobs at that point?
That's one of the things, because I didn't realize that you were going to make the argument on behalf of Cam as backup, which is fine. Like, that's a fine argument. There are plenty of backups in the league who can't play at all. But right. based on the recent work of Cam Newton, you have no indication whatsoever that you could do meaningful winning over a sustained period with that as your quarterback. Yes, can you change it up on somebody and have him still run the ball very well in short yardage situations and lead drives? Yes, but you've seen enough to know that the starting days are over, except Cam Newton looks in a mirror and still doesn't see that. The starting days are over, correct?
Well, we think. We have no idea.
I mean, plenty of spring football leagues that he can join, I guess.
But a team, an NFL team, putting Cam Newton as its starting quarterback is exciting exactly zero fan bases at this point, is it not?
No, but Dan, if you said that about Geno Smith 2 years ago, not a single fan base would be excited.
But again, Stugatz, Geno Smith wasn't getting opportunities for us to see him fail. Cam Newton failed with Bill Belichick.
I understand.
Also, Geno Smith doesn't still do stupid wing things in his Instagram captions.
Oh.
The last time that that Cam was a full-time starting quarterback in the league was obviously with New England. He threw for 2,657 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions.
Mike, what are you making faces?
He could win
about?
You a game, though. I mean,
really? 10 years ago, yeah.
I guess he did win. He helped win Carolina a game when they used him as a gadget quarterback. He's still the greatest goal line weapon that I've ever seen at his height. He's just unguardable. But, dude, we saw plenty towards the end. They wouldn't trust him to throw the ball. And just because he rolled out and held the ball for 30 seconds and put his entire body behind a throw with no defenders out there, you want to give him a shot as a starting quarterback?
As a backup quarterback. I'm saying, why not?
He had shots as a backup quarterback. He doesn't necessarily want that. And I don't know the offers that he's had, but he was brought in as a backup in Carolina, and they decided to not bring him back, and no one else kicked the tires on him.
The other issue is he's very scheme reliant on somebody that runs a QB heavy run screen, like scheme, because if you bring him into a vertical rate offense, he can't throw the ball. What are you doing?
And you can't even really use him as a gadget quarterback all that much, because he had a fumbling problem later in his career. He would turn the ball over. Remember, New England just straight up lost a game because he just dropped
And he couldn't throw.
And his Instagram captions are all in wingdings. I can't believe you guys are glossing over this. Do you know what wingdings are, Dan?
No.
Okay, it's like the font that where every letter looks like it doesn't look like regular.
There's a Cam Newton font generator on the internet if you ever wanted.
It's ridiculous. It's 2023. I checked it right now, and I was like, oh, maybe he stopped doing it. Maybe that was something he was doing back in 2015, and he says, 8 years strong. He still types with this stupid-ass font. Why? Why? Why would you make it hard for people to read?
You just sounded like Nancy Kerrigan being hit in the knee with a tire iron.
I can't front, man. Every time I see that video, I hear that, I laugh so hard.
No.
It's a funny sound. It's a horrible, horrible thing that happened.
No, there was a figure skater was hit in the knee with a tire iron.
Yes. Where's the challenge flag? I'm forcing an apology right now.
Jeff Galooly. Do it from the penalty. Box. I mean, do it from the penalty box. I mean, right there.
Wait, I gotta go to penalty box.
You gotta
do that.
Why? Why? Why?
Don Lebatard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas's assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no?
No.
Okay. Very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
A happy and joyous 33rd birthday to Stugatz's favorite J.J. Watt.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Also, a happy belated birthday to Mike Crack.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Nick Saban had some sound.
You're just going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, not a lot. Not
shovel on to Saban.
It was just Mike Crack's birthday.
Why don't you recognize Mike Crack on this
we
day?
We just did recognize.
We don't talk about Mike Crack enough.
Right.
Mike Crack. We just did that. Didn't
it? Dopers Dope Top Mike Crack.
Isn't that what we just did? No. Let's play this Saban sound because I do believe that Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, is getting.
We're stuffing whose crack?
Yours.
With Oates?
Huh?
He's 55.
Nick Saban.
Double nickel.
Is going after Alabama basketball coach Nate Oates, who has, and this is not supportive of the Nate Oates experience, to be in an athletic department with Nick Saban. And you're the number one seed overall in the tournament, but you also have murder around your program, and you've looked like a bad leader. And the optics beyond the murder of how you've handled that, the New York Times reports that four of your players were at this thing.
Nate Oates has missed every opportunity to help make this a better public relations scenario for Alabama.
And Nick Saban doesn't do a lot of this. He's suspending a player here for something, and he's basically separating himself with a great deal of distance from his dirty basketball program.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So, it is what it is, but there is, you know, cause and effect when you make, you know, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
That was totally intentional from Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about that was premeditated with purpose. The words that he chose were chose with purpose. So that.
This is how I handle my business.
Well, yeah, the wrong place, yeah. Wrong time thing. Yeah. Like
that's what Nate Oates, the wrong place, wrong time thing is what everybody heard in the shade of the comments, because that was the way that Nate Oates decided, again, to handle murder, a murder charge around his program.
Yeah, Saban's, I guess as he's gotten older, he's been a much better quote. Like he uses these opportunities with the media, as someone that powerful should, to push forth an agenda. Sometimes he's fallen on the wrong side of it, and he's had to apologize directly to other coaches for it. But he uses that pulpit with a lot of purpose.
I would go a step further on celebrating someone who I have been very critical of, because when he came to Miami and tried the professional coaching gig, I beat him up because all of his principles and words about accountability didn't seem to apply to the mirror when it got very difficult in Miami, uncomfortable, and he didn't like it here in the pro ranks. He left. But to me, the most impressive thing that he's done that's somehow even more impressive than the fact that he's won more than any modern coach in college football, the idea that his program doesn't have the problems that plagued USC when they were up there, the contaminants that plagued the University of Miami, that the suspensions, that he is very much in control of something that now is more uncontrollable than it's ever been. The players have legitimate power now. They can make a mess of things at the championship level with arrests and misbehavior and just college kids stuff. The idea that Alabama somehow is rarely in the news. Florida State had this. Every program that got to the top, Colorado, the one year that they did it, always arrests all over
LSU,
the place.
Almost any program that comes for the king, Nick Saban, and it actually topples him.
Has it happened to Georgia?
I mean, there's, very recently there's been stuff around Georgia. It happened with Florida. Like, usually if a team gets to the point that they're beating Nick Saban.
That's the only way to do it, and it's stunning. I've said this
one
about.
One of the only ways. They were running amok over at LSU.
I have said this about Duke, right? It strains all credibility to think that somehow everyone in college basketball is cheating. Wiretaps reveal that Creighton, $100,000 for a starter. But somehow Duke is not only dominating, but dominating the cheaters by doing it straight. Like, maybe they are, maybe that, but it doesn't. If I made you bet on probabilities, you would say there's no way they could do that clean. Alabama, very much, though, is winning at a dirty game in a way that feels like he's in control of that program.
That I think that's the most important thing, because it hasn't been without incident. But, like, the marquee names sticking around the program and having that as a distraction, that doesn't really happen to Nick Saban. They deal with it. I mean, they get a lot of it.
You think Saban's given that same quote if it's a quarterback? Like, one of his best players?
I don't know if he has some of his best players ever really be involved with that kind of stuff.
See, here's the problem, right? Because they're in a town where suppressing stuff is easy. This incident with Mitch.
Tallahassee was that town too, and FSU couldn't suppress it. Like, there are a lot of college towns.
But hold on. But Tallahassee's also
Miami. Coral Gables was that town with people in charge. Police chiefing was that town. Well, you know, it's hard to keep quiet.
You know
stuff.
My longstanding theory about is like all the death penalty programs. There are major media markets because an entire economy doesn't revolve around SMU, USC, and the University of Miami. The entire economy in the state of Alabama basically revolves around college football, and that program is the biggest program in that state. So yes, it should be noted that this stuff happens, and oftentimes you don't hear about it because there's a lot of influence. There was so much more shit that was happening with the Florida Gators that you never heard of. They do try to suppress the news.
Because we just focused on Tebow.
My point is, though, look at what happened at LSU. Look, no matter the size of the economy of the program or the championship nature of it, the stuff is hard to contain. And Alabama does not have a reputation of they do it dirty. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But to me, the most impressive thing about the entire tenure is it all falls apart, Stugatz. You don't get to keep it. Reggie Bush, people start looking into your program when you're USC.
And they're looking into Nick Saban's program. Well, someone's looking to take him down, and yet no one has been able to do it, which is interesting.
But, Sue, look at the coaches that have gone for Nick Saban and been successful. Chizik, Urban Meyer, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. They've all had some of these things going on, and they don't have the longevity. Yet Saban continues without that same kind of muck.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.